He has to be married to be a church leader. So it's always important to look at what the text actually says. Having said that, many people who have been polygamous come to Jesus Christ, and with the church they work through and may become leaders. Okay, so you could have the situation in England where you have what we call serial monogamists. In other words, people haven't been polygamous and looked after their wives, but they've had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 partners before they come to Christ. Okay? So often people come to Christ and they, well, all of us bring baggage with us as we learn to live in a way that pleases God. Okay, so we're thinking about following Jesus in leadership. This relates to all of us. This is important, whether or not we see ourselves as leaders. Because leadership and praying for leadership is the responsibility of the whole church. And often in world politics, we're told that countries and nations get the politicians they deserve. That's not from the Bible, by the way. So, we're opening up a reflection and a discussion. Next Sunday, we'll even consider something about the attitudes people bring to leadership. And we will spend time, as you know, calling our new church leaders. The verse I would like you to hold, if anything, today in your mind is this, of Jesus speaking, who declares himself to be the good shepherd. And also people go on to call him the great shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And that tells us something about leadership and the leadership of Jesus. And he's speaking about what makes a good as opposed to a bad leader. And you've probably experienced good and bad leadership, whether in your work context or in different church contexts or in different community groups, and you've probably experienced some very middling leadership. But Jesus is our example as Christians of what good leadership actually is, the sort of leadership that people may choose to follow. And at the end, I'm going to leave you with a couple of questions to think about. So he's speaking about the fact, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Already on that, you could have a whole talk. And he chooses this model of a shepherd and a flock. It was common in his day, not so common in our culture, but about flock following the shepherd and the shepherd leading them by loving and providing care and protection, food and guidance. All of those things are involved in leadership. And we think about what example of good leadership Jesus has set us. Now, we need all sorts of leaders. It just happens next week. We'll actually be together, calling some new church leaders. But we do need people to lead our young people. It's incredibly important, those who are in some ways the most precious. They're the little flock that God has given the kingdom to in many ways. We need people to lead us in prayer. We need others to train people in discipleship and to mentor them. We need all sorts of leaders. And that is very important, so please remember that. Take a moment and just think in your mind, if you were to think of one of the things about Jesus that you think makes him a good example for leadership. So you don't need to discuss that one. Just one thing about Jesus that makes him a good leader. Okay. Now, when Paul, called the Apostle Paul, because he was sent out as a church planter and as a missionary, wrote, he understood that he could only ask people to follow him as far as he followed Jesus. And he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, leading into a section which is about leadership and communion. Follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ, says in the Good News. An older translation would be even better in this case. Imitate me then, just as I imitate Christ. In other words, mimic me, copy me, but not with my mannerisms, as it were, but only in the way that I copy Christ. Okay, so a test of leadership often is, well, how close are they to Jesus' example? Now remember, leaders are not Jesus. We are not perfect, although we may aspire to walk uprightly. But it's a pretty good test, which is interesting. If we don't really know about Jesus and his true character as shown in Scripture, we could be being influenced by the world's way of choosing leaders. And actually, I think we would argue that it is Jesus and his characteristics that shows what is actually good leadership. So we're pilgrims together following Jesus. I put the shepherd's staff up there because often being a shepherd involves protection and guiding and going on really rough pilgrim's roads. Could we have the second one, Jeff, if that's okay? I should maybe have my copies out of what I'm going to show you. Okay, this was a picture of one of the activities on the church weekend last year. How high can you pile a tower of people's shoes? And if you can recognise not just the shoes but the feet, you might get a clue about why I'm using this as a leadership slide. I think it's a brilliant example of a leadership slide. Here's the question: what example of good leadership does Jesus set, remembering that we're pilgrims on the journey? Next one, please. You didn't get it. I didn't load it. It just shows you leaders are far from perfect. It's saved on my desktop. I'm going to actually go through a suggestion of some of the important things, the good examples that I think Jesus gives us. See, as we come to the point, you might well put your hand up if it was the one that you thought of. And you may have some spare ones at the end. I started using a list that a guy called Ron Edmondson did. Hillary used a different one yesterday, but I changed it considerably. He comes from Grace Community Church in Tennessee. The first point that I made was that Jesus was willing to invest in people others would have dismissed. Does anybody get that one? Sort of, okay. Jesus was willing to invest in people others would have dismissed. If you think about the disciples, not just the 12, but the many more, the 120, and so on more that are spoken of, they were not the religious elite, yet Jesus used them to start his church. And we need leaders who will represent the variety in the church and in the communities we are going to. That's the sort of leadership team we need. Those we are reaching out to and those who represent those who are in the church. Particularly at the moment, because there are vast changes to the demography, what the people are like in the places they live. So if you do a survey of Bethnal Green now, even compared to 5 years ago, it is very different. If you do a survey of Stepney or Bow or anywhere in the borough, also, if you do a survey of any of the East London boroughs of Waltham Forest or Redbridge, Hainault, and all those ways, Tilbury even, and so on, they are changing. They are changing. And our leaderships need to reflect that because leaders need to know their people. Jesus said, I know you. We need to know what's going on. We need, on a leadership team, those who are practical, and also those who are professionally trained, because we need different skills and different gifting. We remember with Jesus that he did elevate women as well as men, and the ordinary as well as the highly educated. And there were very educated people in Jesus's day, even though it was an agrarian economy. Did anyone get this? Number two, Jesus released responsibility. He let people take ownership and have their own ministries. Did anybody have that? Not yet? Okay. Remember, Jesus sent out his disciples on their own after he trained them. And we need leaders who will be able to train and encourage others to go and get on with what God is calling them to do. We don't just need people who will train people to be good Christians within the church, much as we do need that. But we also need leaders that will help people go into the workplace. And that was one of the things certainly I've been talking about with Tokes and Balaji and others. There were five people who could have stood. But two of those believe now is the right time to stand. We need people that can prepare for the world out there and release responsibility to them. What is God calling people to do, and what does the church actually call people to do? We really don't need people who are just doing their own thing without reference to other believers in the faith. It can cause all sorts of problems for other Christians in the same area. That doesn't mean we rule out people doing entrepreneurial things if the Holy Spirit is leading them to do that. We need to be open to that. All right, thirdly, who had this one? Jesus had a leadership succession plan, which means he planned for when he was no longer around. Did anybody have that? Interesting. Jesus consistently reminded his disciples that he wouldn't always be with them physically, although his presence would stay with them. Of course, he was still the leader, but he prepared others to take on the ministry and the mission of the church, to move the church forward. And we have seen that in every generation. There have been those that are ready. Sometimes they're very sparse in number. We even hear that God says he's looking for people to do certain things and he's finding it tough to find them. Often that's to do with prayer and intercession, some of the toughest ministries. So Jesus was into developing leadership and also replacement, making a plan that people would move on, something we always find very difficult and something I think as a church we need to be ready for. When I first came to the church, people often stayed in the church the whole of their lives. That is not the world we live in. The world we live in is often of people moving and moving on, and we should always be thinking about people doing mission and moving out as well as doing mission here. He was very purposeful in preparing the disciples to take on his ministry and his mission. And leaders in the church need to be prepared for that. It's tough to hand things on, especially as some people, when they start to do them, may not do them as well as other people have previously done them. Of course, they may do it better, but it is not always easy. But he had this plan. Fourthly, I'm sure you had this. Can you put your hand in the air if you said, Jesus practiced servant leadership better than anybody else? Okay, I've got one, two, three, one on the way. You can tell me later if it's phased differently. Having constructed a list of 12 all the way through the night and even this morning, I wanted to add things to it because it's like praise. When you start to praise Jesus, you start, more things start coming. And so he did this, hence the picture. In a way, you couldn't really have a better picture of the leadership of Jesus, even more than that of seeing feet, people's feet. But he did this because he loved people. And you know, I almost want to say that before anything else. The reason he washed their feet was because he loved them. And he said, I've given you an example. You need to be willing to do that, to have that attitude, because that is what love means. Not feeling nice necessarily towards everybody, but actually it's commanded and it's practical. And he loved people. Heaven keep us from leaders who do not love people, whether they're political or community or church. But really, we need people, don't we, that they love people and they want to see things done well for them. And of course, it goes without saying that they love God as well. But this, he loved people and he was willing to be the servant. That doesn't mean that churches should push their leaders around and tell them all the time what to do. And I've experienced that. People try that with me. They don't tend to get very far with me, but I do have to go away and repent afterwards. But actually saying, you're a leader, why aren't you visiting those people? Have you visited them? Aren't you supposed to do so and so? You know? So You can tell leaders they haven't done something. David's told me this morning I didn't photocopy the November newsletter. I haven't saved the right purpose. You can say, lovingly, but, you know, there's a difference. But he loved people. He practiced servant leadership. Fifthly, Jesus was focused on obeying what God had given him to do. I don't know if anybody had that, but that actually does make a good leader in conjunction with something else I'll say. Regardless of persecutions or distractions, Jesus kept on the mission God had called him to complete. He finished it. He kept on that mission. When his disciples said, "Don't go to Jerusalem, our lives are going to be in danger," he said, "I'm going to Jerusalem." When they wanted him to stay and do certain things, he said, "No, I'm going to the cities and towns around here. I must do what my Father has asked me to do." And we need that conviction in people's hearts. And sometimes we need that persistence that people like Jackie Pullinger had, even though the church said, you know, "No, you can't go to Hong Kong." She used the last of her money to buy one single ticket to Hong Kong, one can of Coke soda on the boat that she had, and all the money was gone. You know, and 40 years on from that, she has seen change in thousands of lives. But as well as being focused, the Jesus leadership, the Good Shepherd, was that he was full of grace and therefore he was flexible. And we need leaders that have grace. Jesus was full of grace and truth, of love and the power of God. Grace really means. So when the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years touched his garment, he stopped to heal her, even though he had something else to do and was incredibly busy, even though it broke the conventions of the day, and a menstruous woman touching him would have meant in many religions that they would never have prayed with him again for a long period. He was full of grace and he was flexible. And we need leaders who, they can be determined, but they're also flexible. Because anything can happen, particularly in East London and Essex. If you work in a school, anything could happen, couldn't it? Any day, Hillary. And it's the same in teaching. Things happen into our well-laid plans, okay? And Jesus was focused, but he was also full of grace and flexible. I've said number seven, and you may have put something like this. Jesus was into inner development rather than outward showiness. So his inner development of relationship with his Father was very important. Did anybody have that? That was what made him a good leader. It doesn't matter how much your suit costs, the car you drive, the aeroplane or helicopter you use, and how many acolytes you have kowtowing around you. He was into an inner development of relationship with his Father. He constantly slipped away to spend time in solitude with God, and I believe to fight spiritual battles on behalf of his disciples. He lived simply, and he both offered and accepted hospitality. That is something for those of us who are leaders to take very, 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 very seriously. Did anybody watch Rebus last night? No. All right. Well, if anybody's interested in the Church of Scotland, which I always am, because my aunt and uncle that were elders in the Church of Scotland, watch that one to see how the church can fall into the trap of the world and think that we will, that it's all right to use whatever means we will to keep our reputation. Inner development makes a good Christian leader, somebody who prays and spends time with God. Eighthly, he had high expectations for his followers. Jesus held high expectations. Did anybody have that? It's interesting, we've got a whole church and we're going to have 30 or 40 other suggestions. He wasn't afraid to make huge requests of people. Follow me meant the disciples had to drop their agenda and take his agenda. He said that they needed to be willing to lose everything to follow him. And as a principle, I think it's true that Jesus urged people beyond what they were capable of. He had not to push them something they couldn't do, but to reach out for the highest thing that they could achieve with the gifts that God had given them, the gifts and opportunities. And that is the expectation. Did anybody have Jesus cared more about people than about rules and regulations? I'm looking forward to these. Okay, it's quite interesting because we think quite differently. He was willing to jeopardize himself personally by breaking the rules to help someone in need. Anybody give me an example of how he broke the rules? Right, he visited the house of Simon the leper and ate with him. We've mentioned the woman who touched him. He healed on the Sabbath, and you could quote other examples. But remember, these weren't the rules that God had made. They were rules that men had made by adding on to the teachings of God. Perhaps one of the very practical things that make a good leader is this. Jesus was well aware of the reality of human nature. So he knew the heights that human nature could climb to, and he knew the depths. So Jesus knew the positive and negative sides. He had no need, the Bible says, for anyone to tell him about people's power plays, their jealousies, and the like. He knew human nature, and we need leaders who are not naive and not hostile. Particularly in our world, we need people who understand those who are of other faith. And they are not naive about it, nor are they hostile. They are prepared to see and to understand. Jesus exposed injustices and he called for change. He spoke up where he saw good being done. This is a good leader, isn't it? Where children were praising God and he said, I'm not going to shut them up. I'm not going to forbid them coming to me. When he sees a poor woman giving generously, he says, look at that. That's generosity. And so he praised as well as challenged. And that always has to be a sign of a good leader, even if you're not a Christian, doesn't it? And 11, I said that he celebrated people's readiness and faithfulness in their ministries. We can all have a ministry of service. Our lives can be a ministry. And when people were ready and when people were faithful, he celebrated it. So he told parables that spoke about rewarding people generously who had been faithful to God and to kingdom values. God values faithfulness and reliability. I have to be honest, it's something I really value in leadership. We will all make mistakes at times, but if we say we will do something, whether it is a small thing or a big thing, and those who are faithful in small things will be given bigger things to do. It's a test of a good leader if you ask them to clear a kitchen up when you come in, the draining board is wiped down, the dirty pots and pans are put away, the worktops are wiped, and it looks ready for use. Really mean that. That sort of thing that people can do is really important. So the Bible actually says also, people that get on well with their neighbours and are thought well of. People that don't drink too much wine. People that work hard at bringing up their children. These sorts of things are to be acknowledged. People who are faithful. People who are celibate if they are single. These sorts of things are to be acknowledged. And lastly, and then I will give you just a moment to share some of the things I've missed, was that Jesus finished well, which sort of moves on from what I've said. He said at the end on the cross, it is finished. And he finished what he started in obedience to God. He even forgave those who wrongly accused him. His last thought as he died was not to call down the anger of God, but to give a period of grace. A good leader is someone like Jesus who says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. John 10, verse 11. So a good Sunday school teacher, small group leader, says, I care for the little flock. I love them. I prepare well. I take time out to prepare. I pray for them. I'm even prepared to lay down my life and live a good life, a good example for those youngsters, because they may come to Jesus. So Hilary, you came to Jesus through the witness of Girls Brigade, girls that were in that and the leaders that were there. A good shepherd lays down their life. And I still hear of Mrs. K. I know Mr. K went to glory. Don't know if Mrs. K has. She may well. She's still I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. I'm a good youth leader. I love them. I talk to them. I pray for them. I'm sensible in my practice. I set a good example. I lay down my life for the sheep. You can say it's a pastor of a church. School teacher. Whatever. I lay down my life for the sheep. Why? Well, because that is the example that Jesus set of leadership. We aspire to that. I know that we often say to the Lord, actually, I'm weak. Make me stronger. I understand that. You know, fortunately, God doesn't keep a record of all my wrongdoings and all my failures, which is a great relief. He clocks up and encourages, and that is the spirit of leadership. I'm going to ask six people who didn't get what they got wasn't on the list. So three blokes, three women.
Knew the word of God, so okay. He was authoritative in that regard. Excellent. And he could use that to act, and he knew the difference between what was manufactured and yes. What was actually inspired by God.
Excellent. Okay. Authoritarian, he was authoritative, he had an authority, and they said, people looked at him and they said, oh, he's not like the other teachers, he speaks with authority. In other words, you know, he lived it out. Thanks, Lola. Brilliant. Right, we got one.
Very basic, led by example. That was it. It was a bit like the servant.
Yeah, he led by example. Okay, so you may have put those words around it. It doesn't really matter. It's as long as the essence of the truth is. So we've got one more woman and then three men.
He was forgiven, but you kind of said that at the end. So.
Okay, no, well, that's to underline it. I didn't spell that out. He was actually forgiving. I said finish. Yeah. He was forgiving.
Yeah.
Thing. Remember, we have to do it in the way Jesus did. So he forgave and he chose not to remember. So all this rubbish Christians saying, I've forgiven them, but I won't forget. Well, remember in Isaiah, it teaches us that God forgives and chooses not to remember. So he keeps doing that. Okay, three guys.
The humility of Jesus, that he humbled himself by washing the disciples' feet.
Yeah.
But also he humbled himself on the cross.
Brilliant. Thank you, Bernie. Humility and leadership.
Jesus is expecting us to finish well.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what we are going through. There are troubles, afflictions, temptations, and trial, but we must overcome them and get to heaven. Okay. That is what he's teaching us.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Josh. Well,
I thought he wasn't discouraged even when he was preaching and they didn't understood what he was saying, and they said they were confused. He kept going on and, kept preaching and kept telling them stories and parables.
I love
that. He wasn't discouraged.
That's really good. He wasn't discouraged. That was sort of the inner life keep being renewed, but that's put in beautiful words. I don't know if he did. In his humanity, I think at times maybe he was, but he kept going, and he had that source of life with the Father that he was kept being renewed. So thank you so much. And there's some more out there, all you shy ones. Follow James' example. Push yourself that little extra bit. Okay. Let's just be still for a moment. Neil's already quite rightly taken us to a time of stillness, but just to focus for a moment in stillness.